It's great to see everybody here this morning, and you realize the front door is open finally. Yay! All righty, like she said, our Broncos play tomorrow, so maybe we need to offer a word of prayer for them. What do you think? Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this group. We ask that you bless each and every one of those who is here. Let us listen to Bruce this morning, and may his message be an inspiration for us and a guide as we live our life for the next few weeks, the next few months, and the next few years. We're thankful for this church that has been here for 10 years, and we know that you had to have your hand in helping us to do this. We certainly could not have done it alone. We have some on our prayer list. We know that Marilyn is doing better, and we give you thanks for that. We pray for Pat and Bill as their father has passed away, but we know that he is now safe in your arms. We ask that you listen to our prayers, the prayers in our hearts this morning, and we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. So I thought of this song farther along because this week my dog died. We lost Zoe. She was 13. She was a wonderful companion for many years. And since my dog died, I thought I would do a country western hymn. Because my dog died, and I thought, well, I hope my man doesn't leave me. That'll be next.
You know, I usually start with some kind of a story or a saying something just to get your morning started. And people ask me where I get these stories. Well, they come from you. I mean, people send these to me all the time. And this week I got the same story twice, one from Marilyn Baines and one from Norm. So I thought they must really, really want me to use it. I couldn't get it to print, so if we can find it here, if it's actually still on here, we'll read some of the quips off of here. All right. These are Christian one-liners. First thing that it says is, don't let your worries get the best of you. Remember that Moses started out as a basket case. Some people are kind, polite, and sweet-spirited until you try to sit in their pew. And many folks want to serve God, but only as an advisor. The good Lord didn't create anything without a purpose, but mosquitoes come awfully close. And we'll do one more. When you get to your wit's end, you'll find that God lives there. So, words to live by. Let's all stand and sing our first hymn together this morning. And we're going to have Phil on guitar and a piano. So, and do you want me to tell him that we would like everybody to sing first verse, women the second verse, men the third verse, and everybody again on the fourth verse. Men second. Okay.
It'll say it up there.
Oh, okay, great. All right, you'll know what to do.
He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the wind and the rain. Hands, he's got the whole world in his hands.
He's got the tiny little baby. In his hands, he's got the tiny little baby. In his hands, he's got the tiny little baby. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands.
He's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands.
Well, good morning. I'm not Pat Cox. She's in Arizona, so asked me to lead us in prayer this morning. So if you could bow your heads. We give thanks that because of your grace in Jesus Christ, you look beyond all that is fallen and fallible and flawed in us, and see our potential instead. You continually call us beyond ourselves. You call us beyond denial into repentance, beyond self-indulgence into sharing, beyond complacency into action. You challenge us to leave behind our inhibitions and fears that we may walk in the freedom of your spirit and lift each other up to know you better and to do your will here on earth. We pray for the leaders of our great country. Please give them discernment and wisdom to make the best choices for the nation's well-being, and all of us as voters to do the same. And bless Pastor Bruce today as he delivers your message to us. We ask traveling mercies for the many in our congregation who are away at this time, and please place your special blessing on those in our congregation who are ill or suffering, and give them assurance that your will is being done in their lives. Amen.
We're going to stand again and sing another hymn. You're going to know this one. It's Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. So please stand.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred ties is ours.
reading from the book of Matthew, chapters 38. Reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. You have heard it that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. The word of the Lord.
It's time now in our service where we give back to the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. If you'd like to stand one more time, we'll sing the doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Be seated.
Almighty God, we give you thanks that we have this opportunity, our freedom to give and to support this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take me.
Candy, cootie, woody, she cootie, cootie, and the shootie, and it did, I think, something like that. Okay, my computer messed up again. I'd like to thank the Shook family singers that we had the last few weeks. They did a great, great job. You know, you never know what will grab somebody's heart. You never know. This sermon on the crucial issues this morning deals with a very hard topic. It's your enemies. Tough topic to deal with. Listen to this name, Mossav Hassan Yosef. Not your John Smith or your Sally Jones who lived down the street, but Mossav grew up as a Muslim. From an early age, he studied the Quran, memorized its teachings, did the daily prayers. He traveled to Mecca for his holy trip and followed Islam as friendly and faithfully as he could. He was a young man growing up in the Palestinian area of the West Bank, but with one major exception. His father was one of the founders of Hamas, the militant terrorist organization. You wouldn't think that he would be a likely candidate to do anything but to fulfill out his dream and his legacy throughout the rest of his life. But the ways of God are beyond human explanation. In his book, The Son of Hamas, Yosef told a story about how he met a man who gave him a Bible, really not the whole Bible, just the New Testament. But he was a very intellectual guy and wanted to find out more about Christianity, about the opposition, to find out about the opposition. So he read, started with the book of Matthew. Then he encountered the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, chapters 5 through 7. And he got his unfiltered exposure to the teachings of Jesus, and it blew him away because he got the word that Jesus says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. He couldn't get away from the revolutionary nature of Jesus' teaching. It was revolutionary. And I'd like to have you take a look at some of the things he has to say.
A harsh and startling.
Every Muslim who read the Quran, if they allow themselves to listen to this Quran and believe in the same time that this is from God, I think they are sick and they need help.
Mossav Hassan says he got that kind of help and his life has indeed changed.
Thank you, Lord.
And like so many others around the world who've converted to Christianity, Mossav Hassan says all it took to set him on his journey was one reading of the Bible.
I love Jesus immediately.
Why?
Love your enemy. That was the one that moved me from like deep and changed my life forever. I've been suffering for a long time. It's like my medicine became. It's not a drug. It's not given. It's not like Quran. Quran is a drug.
The Quran is a drug, you say?
Islam is a drug.
Incendiary words from a young man on a mission. But Mossav Hassan believes his story can change the lives of millions of Muslims whose faith, he feels, is also in crisis.
I believe that Islam is collapsing already.
Because it's collapsing?
It is collapsing. It looks from the outside, it's growing. But from the inside, it's completely collapsing. It's not giving answers to the people. It's not improving their lives. It's not helping them at all. Within 10 years, that's it. Islam's going to be over.
So how did this faithful son become so disillusioned with everything the powerful father he loved and admired brought him up to believe in? What led him to become so disgusted with Hamas, the movement his father helped to found, that he now repeatedly and bitterly denounces it? How did he lose faith in radical Islam and turn instead to evangelical Christianity? And how does he plan to persuade millions of Muslims to abandon their faith, a faith he says is misguided, or as he now puts it, is nothing more than a drug?
And how did he escape the hell of the Middle East conflict and end up in a place many consider paradise on earth? Moshab Hassan's journey from the west bank of the Jordan River to the west coast of America, from the crucible of radical Islam to the heart of the Christian faith, when we return.
Coming up, the Israeli soldiers knocked our door, and they came into the house, saw my father, asked for his name, and he said his name. That's it. They told us we're going to return him after 5 minutes.
When did they return him?
A year and a half later.
When escape from Hamas continues after the break.
Okay, I guess the second part is not going to show this morning. The second part talks about Musab, who said that Muhammad was not a prophet, even though they call him a prophet, because none of his prophecies ever came true. So we take a look at the whole idea of Matthew 5:43. It says, "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." This is the whole crux. He said, Musab said he was thunderstruck. It was the message he'd been looking for, and then he finally found it in Christianity. And what he is saying in this video is that the core of the Muslim religion is really very fragile. It's falling apart. There are studies that show 350 million Muslims are secretly Christians, but they can't outwardly become Christians because of persecution. Love your enemies. Don't hate them. Love your enemies. Don't despise them. Love your enemies. Don't kill them. All other religions say, love your friends, love your neighbors. And only Jesus and some Buddhists say, love your enemies. So it's easy to say and hard to do, isn't it? It must be one of the most difficult commands that Jesus has ever given us, is to love our enemies. It's a hard thing to do. If you have an honest-to-goodness enemy, how do you love them? If you have someone who doesn't like you, how do you love them? If you have so-called friends who have attacked you behind your back, how do you love them? If you know people who have hurt your loved ones, how do you love those who have hurt those with whom you love? Loving your enemies may not be on top of your list of things to do for the day, but it's a very important thing. We'd like to take our enemies and make them suffer like they made us suffer. And it leads us to a very practical question. Who are our enemies? Well, it's anybody who turns against us. And Jesus was very practical in what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, a man's enemies will be members of his own household. This has happened so often. So he specifically mentions in the Sermon on the Mount, a father and a son, a mother and a daughter, and a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law specifically. But we can extrapolate that to any relationship within our families, within our community, within those who we have a correspondence with. We even sometimes when we come to church, sometimes some people may not here, of course. We love everybody here. But in some churches, we know that there are some people that we didn't like. We must work first on relationships that are closest to us. Friends come and go. You know, it's amazing how friends come and go, but enemies tend to accumulate and stick on and stick with you. Yet Jesus says, love your enemies, and how can we do this? Well, there was... David Ramsey talked about the four quarters of life throughout the ages. And one of those quarters was the life in Babylon. In 597 B.C., King Nebuchadnezzar came to the gates of Jerusalem. And he took the many, many thousands of Jews to Babylon, including Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was punishment from the Lord because the Jews were not following God. He allowed them to be captive in the land of Babylon. Jeremiah was one of those that talked about it in chapter 29. He said, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile, Babylon. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper too." So God takes us into our Babylons, the difficult times, the tough times. He says, if it prospers, you too will prosper. Someone who has hurt you deeply, you want to strike back with all your energy, but you need to hold your bitterness. But every once in a while, some of it sloshes over the top, doesn't it? It gives us the difficulties. The whole point of Jeremiah 27, pray for your enemies, love them. They can only help you. Shalom is a Jewish word for peace. It's used three times. It means blessing, wholeness, completeness, the absence of conflict, prosperity. In other words, a Jew will say to another Jew when they're leaving, Shalom. That means have a good time. Don't let things bother you. Take my blessing with you. God ties the blessings to the Jews to their time in Babylon. It seems strange because the Babylonians were pagans. He's really saying off they were better off in Babylon than they were in Jerusalem, because in Jerusalem they were not following God, but in Babylon they were in among pagans. So in other words, we can summarize this verse in this way. You need Babylon, and Babylon needs you. In our day, we say, you need the world. The world needs you. Well, so the Jews said, why is God doing this to us? We are his chosen people. And these people, he has put us in among our pagans. They invaded our land. They destroyed our city. They took our magnificent gold icons and melted them down. They burned down the temple. They're vile people. They're killers and rapists. Why would you want to pray for them? They don't deserve it. It was all true. Babylonians were not nice people. You really can't like a barbaric killer, can you? There's no such category as loving a barbaric killer. The Babylonians acted ruthlessly against anyone who dared to oppose them. Life was cheap. Death was easy. They would string up Christians along the highway on crosses for miles. To people like this, we say, they don't deserve our prayers, do they? Why should we pray for them? I know you don't like it in Babylon, but it doesn't matter. Seek to bless. Pray for the Babylonians in your life. We have Babylonians in our life. Pray for them. And in blessing them, you will be blessed, because you are taking the hatred and the vileness out of your body and giving it all away. The world versus God. That seems to be pretty typical, the world versus God. In our DNA and in our genes, we say, the world, get even. God says, seek the good of those who have harmed you. Look, try to find something good in a person. The world says, get angry. God says, pray for them. The world says, don't waste time loving bad people. God says, love them in spite of everything and love them anyway. That's so important. We need to pray for our enemies. They need our prayers. If we don't pray for them, who else is going to pray for them? Nobody else. We don't pray for our enemies, how are they ever going to change? We don't pray for our enemies, how can they be free of bitterness? Every time we're faced with people who mistreat us, we have three options. We can hate them with total hatred and make it worse. We can struggle to hold back our anger and make it come inside of us and tear us up on the inside. Or we can pray for God to bless them and release it. Release it to God. That opens the door for God to bless them. Love your enemies. Easy to say. Really easy up here to say, love your enemies. Hard to do. What does it mean to love people who have ruined everything in your life that you hold dear? How do you pray for someone that you despise? How do you seek good for people that you wish were dead? There are some times in your life, I wish that person would not be around anymore. Why would you seek their prosperity after what they have done to you? We are to love our enemies because hating never accomplishes anything. Well, there are seven suggestions that kind of come out in this reading of the Bible that we can use. And first of all is greet them. So often we find it's a simple way. If you see a person coming down the hallway that you don't like, you duck into the library. Or you go in the men's room, the ladies' room. Sometimes the turning the other cheek, we turn away so we don't have to say hello. Some of us are quite adept at looking the other way or checking the caller ID. We don't want to take that call today, do we? But only if we only greet our friends, what good does it do? Well, we should greet those who we don't like. Even sinners greet each other. One part of loving your enemies is to greet them instead of avoiding them. Smile, shake hands, make them feel that they're wanted. Difficult. Greet them instead of avoiding them. Second one, disarm them. This is so easy. When you know that a person doesn't like you and they think that you don't like them, when you do the thing that they very least expect, like greeting them and saying, hi, how are you doing? Well, that really touches them, I'm sure. General Robert E. Lee was asked one time the opinion of a fellow officer who was widely known to be one of Lee's distractors. The general responded and said, this guy's a great soldier, great man. But the officer that asked him that said, but General, I don't know why he's been saying things about you. Oh, yes, I do. Well, it was my opinion of him. I was not asked his opinion of me. That's so important that he wanted to just give his opinion about what's going on. The third thing is to do good to them. You know, it's fascinating that in Luke 6, Jesus says, love your enemies. He immediately adds, do good to them. So we wouldn't miss the point. So that is part of our Christian faith, isn't it? First of all, what we do, we love God. We accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And then the next thing, after we are Christians, or when we are Christians, we are to do good. That's so important in our life. You make the first move. You send the email. You pick up the phone. You make the contact. You bridge the gap. You set the appointment. What if they don't respond? That's okay. You've made the first move. If they don't make a response, write a letter to them about what's going on. You don't have to send it. You don't have to send it. I know somebody said, I'd like to write a letter and put it in the freezer and throw it against the wall and let it smash. It'll work wonders for you because it'll release you on the inside. The fourth thing is refuse to speak evil of a person. That's what Jesus said when he said, bless those who curse you in Luke 6. It means choose not to think evil thoughts. Well, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 8. The tongue is so important. And once you say something, it's gone. It's like putting nails in a fence. You can put nails in a fence. You can pull those nails out, but those nail holes will still be there. Every time you open our mouth, life or death comes out. As long as we talk over and over again about things and the things that people have hurt us, the worse it becomes inside of us. It becomes more ingrained. We need to become more forgiving. So the simple truth is you can criticize the Babylonians or you can pray for them. But you can't do both at the same time. We need to thank God for those people who don't love us. our enemies are sent to us by God to make us stronger, to understand about the love of God, how it works in our life. Satan couldn't tempt Job without God's permission. Satan came to God and said, Job, and he says, Job is one of the greatest men who has ever lived on earth, but if I bring him down, he will follow me. God said, give it a try. Didn't happen. God places in your life a Saul, a David, a Daniel, an Absalom, a Barnabas, a Timothy. Perhaps God even puts a Judas in your life. Very difficult. Who is your Judas? Who is your Judas? Behind your enemy stands the hand of God. And that's so important that you know that the hand of God is behind you, no matter what you do and how you work it. You should take a picture of your enemy, stick it on the refrigerator, God, on your refrigerator door, and thank God for every time that you look at it, for making you stronger. Pastor Martin Niemöller, was arrested by the Nazis during World War II. He prayed daily from his cell out loud about his captors. One of the prisoners said, "Why do you do that?" He said, "Who else is going to pray for them but me?" When you pray for somebody, they will be surprised. Lord, I hate this person, but you already know that. God will not turn you away from that person, but he will make you be able to embrace that person within your heart. It doesn't have to happen physically, but within your heart. Finally, it says, ask God to bless them. God's blessings can change a person's life forever, and that is so important. Your enemy is God's gift to you, believe it or not. To say that is not to excuse evil or to condone mistreatment. It does not cancel the need for punishment when a crime has been committed, but God does do those things. Joseph, with the coat of many colors, this is what he said to his brothers. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. We don't know the workings of God. Our enemies humble us. They keep us on our knees. Jesus has enemies. They killed him, and he said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you want to be like Jesus? That's part of our goal. In the cross of Christ, the love of God is broken through into human history. As the hymn writer wrote in the hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, he said, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his hands, his head, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. On the cross, love poured out to us and changed us. Love is the only way. It's a message from God that love is the only way. Well, Mosav Hassam Yusuf is right. Because he opened the Bible and he looked at it. He read the 5th and 7th chapters of Matthew and said, Jesus said, love your enemies. And here's a direct quote from Mosav, which is very important this time of year. He said, when you hear Obama or any liberal such as Clinton or any other Muslim for that matter says that Islam is a religion of peace, you can tell it's 100% flat a lie. Islam is not a religion of peace. It's a religion of violence. Our country cannot condone that at all. That's for sure. Jesus says, love your enemies over and over again. Now it's time for all of us to do that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, some of us desperately need this message right now. We are going to need it soon because we live in a broken world. Give us grace to love our enemies. We will never do this without you. We say in the words of an ancient prayer, where there is hatred, let us sow love. In Jesus' name, amen. And let us confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty.
It's time now for us to prepare for communion. Our communion hymn today is called Come Holy Spirit, Dove Divine. Please remain seated as we sing this song together. Come Holy Spirit, Dove Divine, on these baptismal waters shine, and teach our hearts in highest strain to praise the Lamb for sinners slain. We love thy name, we love thy laws, and joyfully embrace thy cause. We love thy cross, the shame, the pain, O Lamb of God, for sin. Slain, we sink beneath the water's face and thank thee for thy saving grace. We die to sin and seek a grave with thee beneath. And as we rise with thee to live, oh, let the Holy Spirit give the sealing unction from above, the joy of life, the fire.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, met with his disciples in the upper room for the Passover dinner. He took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup, and when they finished eating, he blessed it and said, "This is my blood which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be.
We thank all of you for being here today, and we hope this service was a blessing to you. Look forward to seeing you here again next week. As we prepare to leave, our final hymn today is going to be Let the Peace of Christ Rule in Your Heart. I hope that that's a message you can take with you. So stand now and let's sing this together.
I'd just like to say, I just can't say enough about the Pastor's Appreciation Sunday 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you were all here or not because I had tears in my eyes. I couldn't see a thing. So, but it was really wonderful. Thank you. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.